continuing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we've been looking at the different gifts, and today we're going to be looking at one of the power gifts, which is the gift of faith, the gift of faith. And we're also going to do a review of the other types of faith, and as well as levels of faith. Amen. We've learned that there are three types of faith, and there are three levels of faith. And everybody here should actually have a paper that I have for you that gives you the three types of faith. We've already taught on them. And the three levels of faith. And we're going to be talking about those as well. Because types and level are not the same thing. And the Lord desires that we have a clear understanding of the difference. Amen. We are in the year of God's glorious triumph, and the supernatural is never before. We serve Almighty God, who is our daddy, and he's supernatural. And if we say we are his people, then it's time to realize that we're supernatural. And that should be an amen from everybody. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, how do you say that? I say that because God indwells every person that's born again. Amen. We are his tabernacle. And for those that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then his anointing is upon us as well. Amen. So we have double power. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And so God is, you know, moving, I mean, as never, ever, ever before on behalf of his people. We've looked at the three levels of faith, and on your papers, there's just a, there for you can look at. And I encourage you to hold on to these, praise God, and I'm not going to really go into depth, but we looked at the three types of faith that Jesus talked about in the Word of God. In Mark 4:40, it's there that Jesus was talking to his disciples. You all remember how they were on the boat, and a storm came up, and he said, you know, why did you have no faith? Now, he wasn't saying they didn't have faith, because the Word of God lets us know that to every man is given the measure of faith. That's a type of faith. Amen. But he was saying they were not allowing that faith to be activated or come forth because they were allowing fear to rule over them. Amen. So faith quenchers, and one of the faith quenchers, main big time faith quenchers, is fear. And so Jesus had to rebuke the storm. He gave them an opportunity to use their faith themselves. But they didn't use it. Well, we looked at little faith, and that was in Matthew 6:33. And again, Jesus was talking about the importance of seeking the kingdom of God. And he said, you know, to his disciples, O ye of little faith. And we gave the example, and he gave the example of how the birds, remember I told you how the birds don't go, you don't see them going to work with the little suitcases, you want to get their money, their paycheck, right? And how Jesus said he takes care, you know, of even the birds. And so if he's going to take care of the birds, you know, how much he takes care of us. You know, I've shared this in years past, and I'm sure I'll find out when I get to heaven. But, you know, I've often, and I know what I believe, but you think about all of the animals that God has created. You know, they don't go to a funeral parlor paying whoever or whatever to, have a burial for their relative animals. Am I right? Anybody see a burial procession for birds? For dogs? And you don't really see them. The only time you really see them is if they've been hit or a man has shot them. But they die constantly. Right? And yet, they God takes care of even that for them. Am I not right? Think about how, you know, the millions, maybe billions, animals throughout the world that are constantly dying. So I'm saying nothing's too hard for God. He's a supernatural God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So that's what Jesus was teaching them, how God prepares even for the little, you know, the grass, and how, you know, we aren't to worry, but he wants our faith to not be little faith. He was talking about his disciples, you know, you have little faith. But he wants us to be people, and we're talking about levels. He wants us to be people of great faith. Say great faith. Great faith. Amen. And the example that he gave was not even a Jewish woman. It was a woman that was a Canaanite woman. And so she was not even in the covenant to receive. But I'm telling you, she had a made up mind because she was not even seeking for herself. She was seeking for her child. And so, you know, Jesus, you know, and I believe he was really testing her faith. And so she said, he said, you know, well, you know, this is, you know, you can't have this. And she said, well, you know, even the dogs get the crumbs, Lord. She was willing to humble herself. And that pleased Jesus so much. He said, your faith, you've gotten this by your faith. And this story of what this woman who was a non-Jew did is still being preached throughout the world. Amen. So God wants us to realize, you know, we are in covenant. We're in covenant with him. What does covenant mean? Covenant is an agreement that God won't break. If it's broken, it's by man. Amen. Praise God. And when you sign a covenant with God, it's when you say, Lord, I accept you as my savior. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, God wants us to understand the three levels. So that's the three levels. And I encourage you to get the teachings on that. Praise God. Because we're not going to take time this morning. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the three types of faith. The three types of faith. And I want us to understand that in order for these faiths to work, they work by love. They work by love. The scripture was read this morning. Faith worketh by love. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's important to realize that we don't give up. Another scripture was read, you know, in Galatians 9 and 6 that we will reap in due season if we what? Don't faint. Don't faint. Turn quickly. Let's look at that again. Galatians chapter 9. Praise God. I believe it's chapter 9. Hallelujah. 6. Thank you. Galatians 6, praise your Lord. Can you say praise God for the word? Amen. 6 and 9. And the word of God says, let's read it together. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Don't be tired. Don't say, oh, this didn't work for me. I just give up. No. We're going to reap in due season. That's what the enemy wants. He wants God's people to start speaking everything except the word of God. So, you know, a negative circumstance of what we perceive to be negative sometimes, he wants God's people to agree with them because he knows then that the faith won't be able to operate. So God wants us to agree with him. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing what you know is right, even though it doesn't feel good to the flesh. Amen. Praise God. But decide, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. In the book of James, the word of God tells us there, James was a half-brother of Jesus Christ. And the word of God tells us there that James said, you know, show me. He said, you know, that you need both. You need faith and you need works. It's not enough just to say, and I've heard so many people over the years, you know, many times when I've ministered to them, one-on-one or two together, wherever, they'll say, oh yeah, I'll talk to them. They say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he was born a virgin. I believe that he paid the price for my sins so I could go to heaven, but I'm not ready to accept him yet because they want to continue in what they're doing, not realizing that they need to accept Jesus so he can help them to get free. I mean, they realize it, but they don't want to make that decision. And so they continue on that road to hell. And so it's not enough to believe because James says even the devils believe that there's a God. So people can believe, but if they don't put actions to the belief, even today, you can hear the word, you can see it and believe, but if you don't put consistent actions to that word, it's no good. Amen. Turn to James quickly, praise God, in the word of God. You know, here, we like you to see the word as well as hear it. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but it also is important to see the word. That's why we have a Bible. Amen. Thank God for it. Everybody in James chapter 2, because I want you to see this and hear it. James chapter 2, and I'm going to be looking at verses 17 through 24. Even so, faith, if it have not works, it's what? Dead, being alone or being by itself. I mean, it's no good. Just like I gave the example, if people say, you know, I believe in Jesus, I be died for me, but if they don't do the works in accepting Jesus, it's dead. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I, this is what James says, and I will show thee my faith by works. We need both. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou believest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Dead. And then he goes on, he gives an example about Abraham. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? How was he justified? Wasn't enough for him to believe God. He had to do something. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was made what? Perfect. Amen. And verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to stop right there. Stop reading, because you can read the rest. You know, read. I encourage you to read the whole book of James. Very short book. But it's really important for God's people now as never before to realize the importance of moving in faith and moving in works. God had given Abraham a tremendous promise. And in the natural, it looked like no way. This man was old. His wife was old. His wife was barren, way past the childbearing years. And neither of them had a child. And they wanted a child. He wanted his own son. And God gave a promise to them that they were going to have their son. Now, it took some faith on their part. How many believe that? So no matter what you are facing today, nothing is too hard with God and you, if you will believe and release your faith and substance on a consistent basis. Amen. Realizing, you know, we read the word of God and we see all these people that are called the heroes of faith, and they went through some stuff. They went through tests. Even though they had the word of God, they had to make up their mind to believe God. They had to speak it. God even changed Abraham's name, so he had to speak it. From Abram to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. So when he walked and people would say, Abram, Abram, you know, he couldn't turn around anymore. That wasn't his name. He had to wait until they said, Abraham, father of a multitude. Yes, that's me. He didn't have one child. And I'm sure there are all kind of people laughing at him, calling you. Who, you talking about God going to change your name? You know your name's Abram. That's why it's so important, you know, what we call our children. Must speak life. Must speak life. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. To God be the glory. So here we see, even after he had Isaac, you know, that the promise was to come down to Isaac. And Isaac will, you know, the seed, the nations be blessed. And here God said, Abraham, offer up your son, your only son, to me. I'm telling you, that was a big time test. How many of us would be willing to take our child and lay them on the altar to die? But he believed God. Why? Because he knew that God was able to raise him up if he had to be sacrificed. Because he already had the promise. And he believed God and he trusted God. But he still, if you read that, I mean, he spoke it. He said, we will, the lad and I are gone to worship. He didn't say, well, my son's going to be killed. He said, we're going to worship the Lord. And when we return, that was his faith, the substance being spoken. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God wants us to grab a hold of that and begin to speak his words of spirit and life. Every situation in the book of Hebrews, it talks, and I want you to really grab this, because you might feel like, well, you know, I've messed up big time. You know, I've got a reputation now. I'm done this, done that, and so forth and so on. God is a merciful God, and he's no respecter of person, but he is a respecter of our faith. But he wants us to get it right. And even Rahab, how many remember Rahab? Rahab was a harlot. Everybody know what a harlot is? And she had heard about how God had just delivered his people out of Egypt supernaturally. She wasn't in Egypt, but she had heard the report. And God had sent two spies to spy out the land in Jericho. And he had given supernatural orders to Joshua, you know, what to do so the walls would come down and so forth and so on. And these spies, she hid them. Now that took faith, because she knew if the king found her, she was dead. And not only her, everybody with her. But she, this wasn't even a God she knew. But she was willing to do what she knew was right. She chose to hide the spies. And she asked, she said, when you come and destroy this place, I want to be saved and I want my family saved. And she even put the little red string, which symbolizes the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to teach on that. But any rate, you know, the place was destroyed, but she and her family were spared. That took faith. Amen. Not only that, but she wound up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I want everybody listening. This is very important. That's such an honor. And she was rich. Amen. You say, how I know? Because Boaz was a rich man. Everybody remember Boaz, how he married Ruth? He was wealthy. Okay, we're going to look at her lineage in the Bible. Because of her what? Obedience and faith. Amen. Turn to Matthew quickly. Matthew chapter 1. And then we're going to go to Ruth in just a minute. Amen. We're not going to read all of it. You know, but sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you know, we tend to want to skip over, you know, the lineages. But God puts them there for a reason. And, you know, a number of years ago when I was reading it, I said, oh, that's Rahab. You know, had I not read it, I wouldn't know it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at, we're just going to read one verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And Solomon begot Boaz, who was that? Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of who? Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse. Amen? And Jesse begot who? David. That's King David. That's the lineage Jesus Christ came through. Now turn quickly in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 4. Amen? Doesn't it pay to read the Bible? Amen. Praise God. Say, thank you, Lord, for your word. So, you know, this should encourage you. You know, because the enemy, he'll come and he'll bombard you with all kind of stuff. Well, you know, you done this and, you know, God can never use you. And you say, devil, shut up. You're a liar and the father of lies. That's what the Lord called him. Amen. Hallelujah. But God doesn't want his people to continue in sin. He wants us to get it right so that we can reap the blessings like the people in the, you know, Bible that we're obedient. Okay, we're looking at Ruth chapter 4 and verse 18. I'm going to be reading 18 through 22. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Solomon, and Solomon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Now if you remember Matthew, who was his wife? Rahab. Remember we just read it? Amen. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. King David. Amen. So that makes, I believe, Rahab the great, let me get it right. Is that the great, great grandmother of King David? I think that's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this was a woman that was, you know, she had a house of sin. And she wasn't sin, but she made a quality decision to change directions and go in God's way. And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, you don't be dipping and dabbing and backsliding and all of that. You got to get it right. And we're in the time right now. We've got to do it. This is the time, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're still talking about the three levels of faith. Amen. Praise God. And the first level, and on your papers, you look at the first one is the measure of faith. And you find that in the book of Romans 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, let's read it together. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. Amen. What has he dealt? The measure of faith. Now that faith, I want everybody to look up here because you can take these home and, you know, read them later. But, the measure of faith is given to the saved as well as the unsaved. Everybody has faith. The measure of faith. But even though people have the measure of faith, sometimes they don't use it. Amen. Like the disciples, that's why Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. They were looking at the storm. They were listening to the wind and all of that instead of seeing past what they saw. Y'all remember that lesson on Thursday a couple weeks ago? We got to see past what we see in the natural. We got to see what God has and what his word says and see it with our spiritual eyes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the measure of faith is for the saved as well as the unsaved. It can be referred to as natural faith. And I've given examples before, and, you know, quick example would be, you know, a woman when she gets pregnant. Many times when a person, you know, that wife gets pregnant, she knows that that night that she's pregnant. She knows it. And there's nothing, you know, that she sees. That, you know, her shape hasn't changed. You know, she doesn't feel any different, but she knows it. Amen. And so that faith, she's going to do something. What's she going to do? She's going to start speaking and saying, oh, you know what? Her husband probably the first, you know, I'm pregnant. You know, I'm saying, well, how you know? Oh, I just know I'm pregnant. So that person, that wife is releasing her faith. And that's the measure of faith. Amen. Praise God. And she speaks it. And then she may go out and start buying clothes. People say, you know, why are you buying clothes? You might be pregnant. I'm pregnant. And she start buying the baby clothes. Start taking vitamins for the baby. Doctor, give vitamins for the baby. Well, you don't look like you're showing yet. Yeah, but I'm pregnant. So you see the words as well as the action. Amen? That substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you're going to speak it and you're going to do something. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard some amen. Some people getting it. Hallelujah. Another example is a job. A job. Somebody might need a job. And maybe, you know, people said, you know, well, you know, you can't do that. You can't have that job. And then that person meets with someone. They say, okay, well, you're hired. They may not even sign the contract. And you start to work in 2 weeks, and then you work 2 weeks, and you're going to get a paycheck. Then that person's going to be going out and say, you know what? I've got a job. And my paycheck, you know, I'm going to be, what are you talking about? How do you know you got a job? You haven't signed the contract. The person is using their natural faith. That's what that is. Saved people do it. Unsaved people do that. Isn't that right? The measure of faith. Come in here, you know, or go somewhere. Don't have to test out the chair. Oh, is this chair going to hold me? Unsaved people do that. Saved people do that. It's faith. You don't even have to think about things that we do. Put a roast in the oven and cook it. Don't have to check. Oh, is this roast cooking? Is this roast cooking? You just... natural faith, just the measure of faith. You know that your stove is working. You've turned it on 350 or whatever. And when a certain time comes, that roast is going to be cooked. If everything's working, right? That's what type of faith. Or, what does the Bible call it? The measure of faith. Given both to the saved and the unsaved. Amen. The next type of faith that we want to look at, and these are types, not levels. What are they, church? types of faith. The types are different from levels. Amen. The next type of faith that the word lists is the fruit of the Spirit, and that's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Amen. This type of faith is one of the nine fruit of the Spirit. Say, fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. And this is only for born-again believers. Only. And what happens is when God comes, we know that He comes and indwells our spirit. So He comes with who He is, His very character, His very nature. You know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, they're supposed to be a Christian. Why do they act like that? Why are they so mean? Why are they, why do they lie, cheat, steal? Why are they, you know, whatever. There's a reason for it. It's not that they're not saved, not born again, not that they don't have the fruit of the Spirit inside of them, but it's simply that the person has not yielded to God. And it might just be in, you know, one area or two areas. So it's a decision that each one of us who are born again have to realize that we must yield ourselves to God and have our minds renewed. Even today, you're getting the word. But and you can have your mind renewed. Or some people say, oh, that didn't work for me. That might work for her. I mean, that you didn't allow that word to renew your mind. You allow the flesh to rule. Even jealousy. Jealousy is a quencher of faith. Some people, and it's a spirit too, will allow jealousy to stop them from moving with God, saying, well, yeah, she got this or she got that or he got that. That stops that person from moving. So God wants us to realize that we can't allow the works of the flesh to stop us from going higher with God. It's not worth it, church. Faith worketh by love. Amen. So when love is ruling, then the works of the flesh are not in control. Amen. Praise God. The fruit of the Spirit are very, very important. Say, for example, God has said some of the fruit of the Spirit, joy. And then some people, you know, they always said, it's a conscious decision. Even though you may have lost your best pet, you gotta still walk in love. Or maybe your best friend has died. You still gotta walk in love. I know some of you can remember when my mom passed. I was in the pulpit that same Sunday. Was I not? Preaching and teaching God's word with joy. Was I sorry? Was my heart, you know, sorrowful? Yes. But I had a joy that was higher than that sorrow. It's natural to have sorrow. It's natural to have sadness, but you don't stay there. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God gives us the joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So God wants us to demonstrate His character. Peace. God can give us such a peace. I mean, it's in us. It's in there. Say, it's in there. Amen. It's in us. God's peace is in every person that's born again. But we've got to allow it to come forth. Patience. You have a trouble with patience? Then I tell you, you know, Lord, help me in that area. You impatient, can't wait. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm not just talking about sometimes. Then there are going to be things that are going to come all the time. All the time. Why? To test your patience. How are you going to change if you don't have anything to make you patient? Amen? You want to keep going around that mountain over and over and over? Then don't grow in that area. So it's a decision each one of us has to make. So the fruit of the Spirit we're talking about, which is a type of faith, type of the fruit of the nine fruit of the Spirit is faith. Amen? That's what we're talking about this morning. Amen. Turn to Galatians 22 quickly. Galatians 22. There are nine fruit of the Spirit, but we're talking about faith. Galatians chapter 5, and faith is one of the what? Fruit. Amen. One of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Praise your Lord. Thank God for all nine fruit of the Spirit, and he desires that they all come forth. But we have a part to play as well. Amen. Everybody there? Okay, let's just look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, in verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me read verse 24. And they that are Christ has crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So we have to crucify our flesh. You know, even when we get out of here, you may have made up mind, then there's going to be something, excuse me, that's going to try to cause the flesh man to be in control rather than the Spirit. But when we allow the Spirit of God to rule and reign, then the character of Christ is what's seen in our lives on a consistent basis. Does it mean that we don't correct? No. Does it mean that we, you know, don't judge different situations? Yes. But God wants us to do those things in love. Amen. Pastor Lewis and I, you know, there are times we have to correct. And we correct here in love. We've been in places where there were correction was not in love, let me tell you. We correct in love, but each person that receives the correction has got to have an open heart to say, I receive it and make the change. The flesh will, who they think they are, talk to me like I don't have to do this. Then there's something that happens to that person. One thing, they're not able to go higher in God and they miss their blessing. I'm going to share on Thursday, possibly, the other things that happen too. They may wonder, you know, why is this not working? It has a lot to do with decisions that we make or don't make. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be. So we got to have a heart, a tender heart towards the things of God. Amen. Think about your children. When you correct them, how do you feel when they receive it? They get blessed, right? When they don't receive it, does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel good when your children don't receive correction? I ain't hearing everybody answer. No, it doesn't. I'm talking about the natural. You don't feel good when your children don't receive correction, right? Amen. And if you're a good parent, what happens? Then, you know, you don't reward them. And who is the ultimate rewarder of us? It's God. I heard it. It's God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So God wants us to yield to him and to do things his way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he wants us to allow our faith to come forth and the fruit of all of his Spirit. But we're talking today about the fruit of faith. I'm going to share an example. And some of you have heard this example before, but I was, you know, trying to think, and I think it may have been when Matthew was probably 14. I maybe said 12 before, but I think he was 14 because he was leaving ninth grade, getting ready to enter high school. And that particular year, he had a major, major attack. And we were pastoring. And so when things happen in our lives, we just can't stop and let everything go because we have responsibilities to God as well. Amen. And the attack just came just overnight, just like that. And I had the grandchildren because I used to keep them practically all the time. You all know that too. Amen. Praise God. And so what happened was Pastor Lewis had to take him to the hospital. And when he got there, you know, Pastor Lewis and I were thinking, well, you know, it's probably his appendix. Well, he calls me from the hospital, and I have two granddaughters. He said, the doctor took him immediately into surgery. So I got on the phone, and I called Christopher and Desiree, and I think Christopher came and got the girls so that I could go to the hospital. But I didn't go right away. What is a mother's instinct? To go right away. Instead of going, the gift. Looking back now, I realize that it was the supernatural gift. Say gift of faith. This is the highest level that was in operation. And I did something that didn't make any sense. In the natural, I began to sing praises to God, began to worship him. And there was such a peace that just overshadowed me. And when I got to the hospital, I mean, God had prepared a parking spot just like that. And went in, you know, and Pastor Lewis told me, he said, well, the nurse just came out and said they got to do this procedure, horrible procedure that would have affected him all his life. All his life. And so we hooked in together and we said, nope, won't be. And we prayed and we released our faith, even though the doctor was in surgery and even though the nurse had said da 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 what the doctor was going to have to do to him, that what he was going to have was going to have to affect him all his life, we released our faith. And the doctor came out and he said, you know what? I didn't have to do that surgery. Now that was God. But we had to do something. We had to release substance of faith, spirit-filled words from our mouths. And it didn't stop there, because while he was in the hospital, I stayed during the daytime and Pastor Lewis there, you know, was there at night. I mean, I stayed at night and he would come get off of work a half a day so I could go home and take a shower and come back. And I stayed at night because I realized the importance of continually having that word playing and having him speaking words of spirit and life. And I also knew that the enemy was going to send people in there to speak death and possibly even do things that were detrimental. And the Holy Spirit would wake me up. I'm not going to take time to go in. Every time somebody would come in there wanting to do something they weren't supposed to do. Every time. But when the doctors would come in, they would always still have a negative report. And I would tell them, he has the victory. He has the victory. He has the victory. And you know what the doctor said before we left out of there? He has the victory. Amen. And I'm sharing with you about faith, because even though we release our faith, the enemy doesn't give up. And even after he got home, a short time after that, he came under severe attack again. And his pediatrician, because our sons went to a pediatrician, you know, all through teenage years too, because he was good. Praise God. He said, get him to Children's Hospital, you know, right now. And so we took him, and it was a different hospital from where he was. But he said, I know the guy there. I know the head of the department there. I'm going to call him so you don't have to wait and so forth and so on. So he took him right away, the head of the department. But unfortunately, it was a different doctor that, even though we met him and so forth and so on, that was put in charge. And I'm not going to go into, you know, about that. But at any rate, made up mind, he is not staying here. And maybe I'll tell you off tape why. Praise God. And so Doc said, well, he's got to stay. And he's got to da, 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 da. I told him, I said, nope, we don't want him to stay. He said, well, he's got to. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, if anything comes back negative on his test, he's got to stay. And da, da, da. I said, he's not staying. And he was hurting. He was in big time pain. So Pastor Lewis and I, we went to all the different places where they took him for tests. And we couldn't go. In maybe one place we could go in, but we were outside speaking the word of God. Amen. And when the test came back, they came back negative. If y'all want to know, I'll tell you why. You know, he couldn't stay there. Praise God. But at any rate, you know, so I share that with you, you know, that God wants us to release our faith. Even in difficult situations, we all have difficult situations, either with our children, our own lives, relatives, wherever. Amen. And we have to make up our mind, whose report are we going to believe? I will choose to believe the report of the Lord. Does it mean we don't go to the doctor? No. Does it mean we don't necessarily take medication? No, unless God's told you not to, and then you better know that you know that you know that it's God that said not to. We do the things in the natural we're supposed to do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Sometimes doctors even want you to have tests. And sometimes I don't see it on here. You know, that you shouldn't have. But you seek God. That's why it's important to be hooked into God. And to hear his voice. Or maybe it might not be that particular doctor, it might be somewhere else. But always our faith must be in Dr. Jesus, number one. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God wants us to realize the importance of faith. Realizing that, well, yes, you know, we have the measure of faith. We have the fruit of the spirit of faith on the inside of us. And we also, you know, should be moving in that supernatural gift of faith. Turn quickly to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And let's look at 20. We're going to read this together, verses 20 and 21. When you found it, can you say amen? Proverbs chapter 20. Let's read verse 20. Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to read 20 and 21 together. Ready? Read. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Now, the Word of God wants us to realize that we are satisfied. In other words, where we are has to do with our mouths and the things that we've done or have not done, whether we want to admit it or not. And so the fruit, the belly, in other words, we will be satisfied by what's coming out of our mouths. And we will have increase either for good or for bad by what's coming out of our mouths. Can you say amen? And might as well agree with it. It's the Word of God. Amen. Verse 22, 21, death and life. What's in our tongue? And we're in Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So whatever we love is what's going to be blossoming more in that person's life. You might say, well, I don't love death. If you don't love death, then you shouldn't be speaking death. You say, I love life. Well, is life coming out of your mouth? Is death or cursings coming out of your mouth? Life and blessings or death and curses? And, you know, James talked about a fountain. You know, you can't have it both ways. One's going to rule over the other. And so, you know, when you make up your mind, okay, Lord, I'm going to speak life. Whether it feels like it, whether life looks like it, whether, you know, whatever comes, I'm going to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, so what's coming out of our mouth and what happens is if you get your mind renewed. Amen. And the enemy will send people in your lives and sometimes they'll sow seeds. They'll tell you, say negative things, you know, lies about people so that you will agree with that. Lies about situations, lies, whatever. So that you agree with that instead of the Word of God. Amen. Even try to twist the Word, but you get in the Word for yourself. Amen. And make up your mind to speak God's words of spirit and resurrection life. Amen. You know, sometimes you can be ministered to and the enemy, you know, and we see it in the Word of God where the, you know, Jesus ministered to the boy and the boy fell down like he was dead and started foaming at the mouth. But that father stood in faith for that son. You know, and sometimes, you know, because I know I've had it happen to me, you know, you might be ministering and you start get ministered to and you start feeling worse. What's going to come out your mouth? The enemy wants you to agree with his faith quencher. Oh, that's not working for me. I feel worse. Instead of saying, nope, I thank you, Lord, that with your stripes, I am healed. Life and death are in the power of our tongue. Amen. Praise God. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Praise God. We choose. We choose. Amen. Praise God. And we all experience different things. Amen. Praise God. But God wants us to do it on a regular basis. Amen. There's a scripture. If you have not put it to memory, I want you to write it down and I want you to put it to memory. Psalms 118, verse 17. And that's why it's really important to put God's word in our hearts, because you never know when you're going to need it. It's good, you know, we give you things on paper, but it's got to be life to you, too. Psalms 118, 17. And this is for anybody particularly has a negative report given to them. And even if you don't have a negative report, you need to confess it anyway. Excuse me. Let's read it together. Psalms 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Let's say it again. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's God's report. And we got to say, whose report do we believe? We got to turn, make up our mind. Well, Lord, I choose to believe the report again. The Lord, let's read it again. Psalms 118, verse 17. Let's read it together. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You may have a horrible, horrible report, and you don't see any way out. The way out is the word of God. Amen. Jesus is our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our everything. He's our total salvation. Everything we need is in total salvation. Amen. He paid the price for it for us. And it's time for his body to reap the abundant harvest in all of these areas. Hey, say amen. Amen. Praise God. And to give an example, there was a young, we've ministered to a number of people that have had AIDS. And this particular young man had AIDS, and he had received the word, and he had started going to church and serving God. And he had started really doing great. I mean, just really doing great. And then, of course, like the enemy, he comes and he sends, you know, whoever into that person's path or anybody's path to draw him back into that lifestyle again. And I'm sure this was going on for a long time. And finally, he yielded to the temptation. And he went back into the lifestyle, you know, a homosexual lifestyle. And he wound up in the hospital. And Pastor Lewis and I had gone and ministered to him and a couple of times. And then he, you know, he repented and he got released, started doing good again. And while he was out, he had an opportunity to minister one of his friends that was dying of AIDS. And to make a long story short, this young man that he ministered to, because we were talking to him about, you know, God still being able to use him, got saved, and the guy died, but he got saved and before he went to heaven. But unfortunately, we found out from the family that later on, he went back into homosexual lifestyle, and he wound up in the hospital. And he indeed did die as well. Why? Because he chose death instead of life. And it's a choice that each one must make every single day. There are always going to be temptations. Always. As long as we're in this world. But we don't have to yield to the temptations. He say amen. Amen. Praise God. And realizing nothing is too hard for the Lord. And thank God that his family got there in time before he died. And from what I understand, the family told me that he truly, truly repented from his backslidden state before he just, and they were there when he died. Isn't that the mercy of God? Mercy of Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. But God wants his people, you know, to realize that, you know, we can't go both ways because life and death are in the power of the tongue. And it's not just enough, like James said, to speak it. We've got to live that thing. We can speak. What is it? To the cows come home? What is it? You know, we can speak, is you know, from here, but we got to put actions with our faith. That means we can't be, you know, one way one time, one way another. We got to live that holy life, so, period. Because there are consequences when we don't. God has, you know, set it out there. But praise God, you know, for his love, his mercy, and his grace. Because nothing is too hard for God. I don't care what the sentence is. Doesn't matter. Whether it's cancer, whether it's AIDS, whether it's, high blood pressure, whether it's a lack of finances, rebellious children, whatever. We have to choose life. We have to choose to speak life and do things God's way. Period. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a merciful God and he is a loving God. But he wants us to represent him and represent him well. Amen. Which means that his people, you know, he tells us in the word. What I'm telling you is what the word of God says. You know, he said, man is not to lie with man. Woman is not to lie with woman. Many times think about homosexuals, think about men. It's not just men, it's women too, lesbians. And it's in the church. And it should not be so. Amen. It should be amen from everybody. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not fornicate or commit adultery. Amen. You say, well, I'm not doing anything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then you continue to walk in that way. You know, because God wants us to walk after the flesh and not the spirit. Period. Amen. Walk after the spirit. Like, lying devil, walk after the spirit and definitely not the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And some people say, well, you know, it doesn't affect me. It just affects me. No, it doesn't. I'm telling you this because a stitch in time saves nine. Maybe this doesn't speak to you, but I'm telling you, it affects the children as well. Because if the person doesn't get the victory over, say, for example, if it's AIDS, because there is no cure, there are medicines that you can take to look like the person doesn't have it. But that child that comes, oftentimes it's contracted that disease as well. And maybe the parent goes on and they, you know, die. And this is a heavy message, but it's true and it's needful. And how are you going to hear it unless you hear it in the church? Amen. And then the child's left back here. So, you know, can't be selfish. And if the person has, you know, say, for example, say, well, I've gone to the doctor. And the doctor said, da, 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 da. That person knows whether or not they've been with somebody that has AIDS. And don't the Holy Spirit will tell them. And then that person should have stopped because, you know, fornicating is a sin anyway. If they have it, then they're going to be spreading it to other people. Then that's double sin. Period. And God, you know, says it's sin to fornicate. It's sin to commit adultery. It's sin for pride. It's sin to steal. It's, you know, he tells us all these things are works of the flesh. And that's what he says. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love them shall eat the fruit thereof. And in other words, reap the consequences. But God wants us to live holy. Many times that woman that has slept with that man, he's been out here with a homosexual lifestyle. And then gives it to her and vice versa. So God wants his people to be like him. He's a holy God. And he expects we who are his people to be holy. In actions, words, and deeds. And this is all talking about faith. You say, well, why, how does this tie in with faith? Because you can move in faith and stand and believe God for that thing to go in Jesus' name. And when it's done, don't go back. Amen. Because it's not just about you or me. It's about others as well. And it's all about God. Number one. Can you say amen? Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. So God, you know, and then if you have a child, you know, if you find yourself in these situations, then you got to stand in faith for that child. Amen. And if you do, don't, you know, you need to come and admit to me because I know anyway. And tell the truth. So, and the first thing is actually no longer, what is it what you do when people don't want to admit the truth? They, what's the thing I'm thinking about? You lie, but it's something else too. Denial. In denial. In denial. You know, but you is to get out of denial and say, okay, I admit it. I come clean. and get going in that direction. Amen. Maybe drugs, alcohol, whatever. The enemy does not care what he uses. Church, he say amen. Amen. Praise God for the victory. You know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, why such a heavy word? And he said, that God's people must stand now. I wrote it down. On his word for yourself and for the others who are on, that are on their way here. I'm going to read that again. I said, Lord, this is such a heavy word. He knew I was going to bring it anyway. And he said, because my people must stand now on his word for yourself and for the others that are on their way here. And as they come, they're going to be people that have been into all types of lifestyle and that are in all types of lifestyle. Amen. And we can't be so prideful, you know, that we can't minister. We've got to minister in love. You've got to realize and remember how patient and loving I have been with each one here. And you've got to demonstrate that same love to the others. None of us have arrived. None of us. You know, whatever ministry you're over, realize it's an honor and a privilege and, you know, do it in excellence and do it as unto God. And when other people come in, you show that love of God. You know what I mean? Still be struggling with heroin. But how are they going to get free if they don't come here? How are they going to get free if you can't minister in the gifts of the Spirit to set them free in the Word of God yourself? Such were some of us. Such are some now. But don't have to stay there. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So whatever the area is, you know, whether it's finances, and maybe you've gone through a heartbreaking experience in your finance, and you feel like, well, you know, it's just no hope. What's going to come out of your mouth is what you're going to get. Amen. Maybe you made wrong choices. Maybe it wasn't your fault. Just circumstances. But you got to line your mouth up with the word of God as well as actions. Amen. In every area, even relationships. Broken. So for some, it's time to cut off those and sever certain relationships. You know, I can tell you, I can counsel you. You got to do it. I can give you the word. You got to do it yourself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Unhealthy relationships, wrong relationships, and sometimes broken relationships need to be mended. But not all. But whatever it is, we walk in forgiveness and love. Here, he says amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for his word, his whole word. Amen. And we're going a little bit later tonight, today, but I want to finish. I believe, you know, the Lord wants to finish this as well. When a true woman of God that is a prophet brings forth the word of God, then that's the word of God. Period. Now, some people say, well, I don't see the word yet. Well, you need to understand that we have a part to play. The word of God says it. You know, that we are to believe his prophets. We are to believe his word. We want to prosper and his word to be established. And you must begin to speak it. If you've received, sometimes it comes as a correction, too. And I'm not going to teach on that, but sometimes a prophetic word, a correction, a warning. But talking about a good word that comes forth for you, it should already be something that you pretty much know in your heart. It should be something that you pretty much know in your heart. Amen. Most prophecies, and I'm talking about faith. This is all tying in with faith. Most prophecies are over a period of time. And there are so many examples in the Word of God. But an example that we looked at was Mary. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and he shall bruise his heel. That was talking about Mary. It was talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. That was going to eventually come through Mary, the seed of a woman. Amen. And we are bruising the devil's head too, who are God's children. Amen. But also in Isaiah 7:14, you know, the prophecy was given, you know, that the Lord was going to come through a virgin. That was hundreds of years before Jesus was birthed. And then we looked at the scripture, how Mary had to say, had she had to agree, the angel came and gave her word of prophecy. You've been chosen by God to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and to conceive, you know, Jesus Christ. She had to agree with that. Even though her mind was, I'm sure, bombarded, she said, I don't understand. I haven't been with a man. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And when she said it, it happened. But see, that word was already out there. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God wants us to realize, you know, when you receive a word of prophecy, you know, that most times, you know, sometimes it's real specific and you will get the date and time, but most times you don't. The Lord spoke to my heart years and years ago, when I was in denominational church. He said, when you enter the ministry I called you to, it will be just before the Lord returns. And I could tell you a whole lot of things happened after that. I didn't understand it then, and I still a lot I don't understand, but I know I'm where I'm supposed to be now. Amen. Now, he didn't tell me how soon. He said just before. Now, he knows the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So, you know, we've got it. I could have said, oh, you know, not me. Why me? You know, I'm not this. I said, okay, Lord, I just trust you and believe you. I don't understand, but that's your word. Amen. Praise God. When you get a prophetic word, then say, Lord, I believe it and speak it forth. If it's a word where you need correction, then make the changes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. As you speak the word, you will see it. You will see it manifested in God's time and season. And it's through faith, levels of faith. I'm going to close with this, I believe. It's been, I'm going to say maybe 15 years ago. I've been trying to think. I really don't know. Most of you remember when Reverend Louis Seal was here, right? I believe it was April 23rd. Well, we went, they had an anniversary. They have an anniversary every year. And after the service, Pastor Lewis and I went to their anniversary. We had pretty much decided we were going to go. And we didn't until the last minute because we thought we were going to be away. But at any rate, we went. And there was a young fellow there. And he started preaching. And he started giving his testimony. And he was talking about how he was strung out on drugs. And how, you know, he was doing this and doing that. And he looked in this church. He's from Pennsylvania. And he saw this woman preacher preaching. And, you know, he was drawn to come in. And when he came in, he got ministered to. And he was saying when the preacher began to say, tell him all about his life and tell him what was going to happen, that he was going to be a minister and that God had told him this in years past that he was going to be a minister and that he hadn't been listening and da 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 da. You know, just prophetically spoke about him through the word of knowledge, as well as the gift of the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is future. The gift of word of knowledge is present and past. We're in operation, but also the gift, the supernatural gift of faith. And he said when she laid hands on him, he went out in the spirit, and he said he had an out-of-body experience. And he was up in the air looking down on his body. And then when he finished, he preached on it. And he didn't know I was going to be there. I didn't know he was going to be there. But I knew he was talking about me. And he said, he called me out. He said, will you come up and stand next to me? And he held my hand. He said, this is the woman of God that was there that prophesied over me. And he went on to say, you know, some other things. Now, it pays to be obedient to God. Amen? Amen. Because originally we weren't planning on going. I didn't know he was going to be there. And I share that with you because God wants us to be obedient. And when he had me prophesy as a prophet of God, standing in the office of the prophet, I didn't know this man, he was a young fella then, he was probably in his early 20s, and he's still young. I didn't know him from anybody. But God spoke about his past, his present, and his future. And right now, he is the pastor, maybe over 15 years, he's the pastor of that church in Pennsylvania that I went to preach at. Ain't God awesome? Nothing's too hard for God. And he also shared, see, I didn't know this until, you know, several years ago that he was even pastoring there. Well, then he was a co-pastor, I believe, but now he's pastor. And I'm sure that fellow pastor said, you know, how, Lord, how in the world? Here I am strung out on drugs and, you know, how are you going to use me? I've done da 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 da. But he believed God's prophet and he believed the word. And God brought it to pass. It didn't happen overnight. He had to make decisions. There were people that had been in his life because he was strung out on drugs. He had to make his decision to cut those people off. I mean, he preached on this. Not to go certain places. He had to do that. And so we have to make up our mind. You know, we can receive a prophetic word, but we've got to act in faith and do what God says. In terms of working it out, what he says, that's his part. All he needs is yielded, obedient vessels. Amen? Amen. Everybody is not in the office of prophet. The prophet God uses in a different way. Prophet sometimes will correct. But every single person, this is prophetic people, all of you are prophetic people. You can prophesy. Every one of you. And you should. And with, you know, and but you prophesying for simple prophecies for comfort, exhortation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so, but as a prophet stands in a different office. And so prophet does move in that way. But the gift, supernatural gift of faith is for everybody. Just heard some amens. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to move in all the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Knowing that if he said it, he indeed will bring it to pass. And not just move by our minds. When I went to that church, I thought, because I don't, you know, I didn't know. I was young. The word of the message was, are you married to the Lord? That was the title of the message. And I just thought everybody in Church of Christ churches and things like that, that they all had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. I didn't know that. God told me, he said, I want you to minister to every single person here the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that took faith. You know, I hear my mind is saying they already have it. But God said, do it. And everybody came up, even the pastor's wife. And everybody got the baptism. And this guy, he said, this young fella that was there, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, except maybe one. Had I not been obedient and been led by my flesh, it would not have happened. Amen. See, the spirit of fear comes against, tries to come against all of us. Faith quenches against all of us. But God has called you for a time such as this. And he wants to use this house, I'm telling you, big time. And he is those that will flow. And he's not worried about, well, I did this, I messed up. That's the past. It's time to go forward with God. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And realize that he's no respecter of person, but he is a respecter of our faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you got to get rid of old friends, do it. You got to come out of certain lifestyles, do it. Amen. You know, you can't go certain person because place because you know the temptation to go there. Don't go. If there's some places you have to go, then you keep your mind stayed on God. I'm talking about with a job or something like that. And you know there are all types of influence. You don't have to yield to that. You don't have to agree with it. Amen. We choose life or death, blessings or cursings. Choose life, church. Amen. God bless you. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, blessed Holy Spirit. And Lord, we rejoice in you, for you are the God of our salvation. You are our very, very, very soon coming King. You are the master and the love of our soul. You are our great I am. Lord, you are our everything. I thank you for your word. I've been obedient to bring forth your words of spirit and resurrection life. And I thank you for your people grabbing hold of this life-changing word and running with it, Lord God. And I give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. He say amen.